Hare Krishna. Yesterday we had a nice Harinam downtown in Budapest, and maybe you'll see some pictures of it. It was cold, although we didn't feel the cold once we got going. And what we did feel was that at a certain point, not at a certain point, but really soon into the Harinam, one of our, at least in the party that I was in, that sound system broke down. So that was difficult, chanting without amplification. But we did it. In fact, I remembered what I just read in Mukunda Maharaj's book, in which Mukunda Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada how Lord Chaitanya would lead kirtans. And then Prabhupada explained how Lord Chaitanya would organize, that there would be different devotees in different groups and everything, and that there would be mridanga players, set singers, set dancers. And then he said that first the singers would sing, and while the lead singers were singing, then he said the instrumentation was very, very quiet. And then it's when the response came, that's when they started chanting loudly. So that's what we did yesterday. We stopped the instruments altogether, and the devotees would just clap when the lead singers, and it was more than one, three or four devotees sang, were singing. And then for the responsive, that's when we started kartals, mridangas, and harmonica. So that was very nice. In fact, I remember seeing kirtans like that in India when they were also singing without microphones. I guess there was a time in India when they weren't using microphones and loudspeakers. And I remember seeing that same thing, how that's how the lead singer would sing, everything would stop. He would sing, and when the response came, that's when the instruments came in. Or the instruments were very, very quiet, just in the background, instead of the whole drum was just hitting on the small head, and it was very, very fine playing. And so it's another type of kirtan, another method of instrumentation, but very nice, very effective. So we went on, and then we came back and had Gaur Purnima breakfast. And then this morning we started with kirtan. The devotees led kirtan for an hour before I got there, and then led kirtan. That's recorded for another 2.5 hours or so. Then we gave class. It's all in Hungarian. And continued on with that Savarna Gora Mahima, Gauranga Mahima, that we had the podcast from yesterday. And now I'm doing puja, and we'll go back down for the rest of the program, and then there'll be feast. And then hopefully this afternoon I'll have opportunity to write, because I only got to start writing this morning, and it was a shame that we had to stop. Well, we didn't have to stop the kirtan, but then there would have been no other program. And once kirtan gets going, then it's always a shame to have to stop it. Here with some questions about Lord Chaitanya for Gaur Purnima. And I just heard that today's Gaur Purnima actually in India and in Mayapur. So Hare Krishna to everyone in Mayapur. Okay.
Pretty much when Kavi Chandra was asking for advice, leading advice, how to proceed after the Bhagavad Gita, you suggested that he reads Chaitanya Charitamrita. And also today in class you mentioned that it's easier to understand Lord Chaitanya's pastimes than Krishna's pastimes. But at the same time, you know how Srila Prabhupada was explaining that we go through the different cantos of the Bhagavatam up to the 10th canto, and he called the Chaitanya Charitamrita the postgraduate study that comes after the Bhagavatam. How can we understand the advice you gave and that it is easier to relate to Lord Chaitanya's pastimes than to Krishna's, and what Prabhupada said about the Chaitanya Charitamrita being the postgraduate study?
Well, postgraduate in the sense of real deep understanding and realization, because it entails real realization of Radha and Krishna's pastimes as well, full understanding of Chaitanya Charitamrita. But in terms of hearing material, it's it can be heard at any time, even though one may not have full understanding or comprehension. And in terms of being appreciated, it's easy and easier to appreciate Chaitanya Charitamrita without running the risk of hearing Krishna's pastimes or thinking that he's either a womanizer or an ordinary man or something. So in that sense, Chaitanya Charitamrita is good for anyone at any time, even though they don't necessarily get a full, deep understanding of everything, but that doesn't matter. The appreciation will grow from the appreciation, faith develops in Lord Chaitanya. Ultimately, the understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings and the practice purifies heart, and people delve more into Srimad Bhagavatam, and when they really understand Srimad Bhagavatam, then they'll be able to fully enter into Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, because they're both. They're his pastimes, and that is Krishna's pastimes, and particularly his meditations, Gambhira. So, like that.
Also, Gurmansha, we're saying that scripture states that Krishna is the most full form of Bhagavan. He has all the 64 qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, while as other forms of the Lord, like Narayan and Vishnu, they have 60 qualities, and then Lord Shiva 55, and then we come down to the Jiva. And we say that Lord Chaitanya is not different from Krishna. He's fully Krishna, but at the same time, he doesn't have the exact same 64 qualities. So in this context, how can that be explained, that Lord Chaitanya is as full
Krishna? He has them. He's just not doing them. Just like Krishna's not always playing the flute, but he has it. And you know, we're thinking, well, he doesn't do it for his whole life, but that's just in terms of our relative concept of time. He has his intimate, loving associates with who he's with. He discusses all of the, he has the Brijbasis who have spontaneous love for him, and he also has the intimate associates, Lalita and Vishaka in the form of Sarv Damodar and Ramananda Roy, who are exchanging with him, and they're discussing all of the same topics that Krishna personally enjoys. And because there's no difference between discussing or participating, so it's the same. All of those four qualities and his extraordinary sweetness, they're all there with Lord Chaitanya. But they're either manifest differently, or he doesn't choose them, just like his danda is his flute. But, you know, he doesn't, so he has his flute with him, and either in manifest or unmanifest form, but he may not be playing it just in the way that Krishna is not always playing his flute. You know, he's at home, he's with, he's eating, he's not playing his flute. So Lord Chaitanya's got his flute, but he doesn't play it.
There's so many descriptions of, like, Venu Gita, about Krishna's flute playing, how it enchants the world, but we don't hear Lord Chaitanya's danda having that kind of an effect.
No, the effect is there because Lord Chaitanya's talking about it. So Lord Chaitanya's talking about the flute is the sound of the flute. When he's glorifying the flute, that is the sound of the flute. It can be heard, but it can be heard by people like the gopis who have the qualification to hear it. So Lord Chaitanya, Lord Ramachandra doesn't talk about the flute. Lord Varaha doesn't talk about the flute. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks. So it's Avinata Navanamu. It's absolute. The concept of talking the flute and possessing it are themselves non-different. And elaborating on the sound of the flute itself invokes the sound of the flute.
Okay, that's resolving.
Huh?
That resolves the misunderstanding,
right? Anything else?
This is not directly Lord Chaitanya, both Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, but you say, this is like tattva question, you say, Prabhupada often uses the example of comparing Krishna and his energies to the sun and the rays of the sun, but when we speak about Krishna, actually we see that he's not just the source of the energy, but he's inseparable from his energies, like his existence is maintained by an energy, his clothes, his beauty, they're all energies. So someone asked me the question, if we want to just say, what is it in Krishna or Lord Chaitanya that is the source of the energy? How can that be?
What is in Krishna that is the source of the energy?
When we say God is the source of the energy and everything else is his energy.
Well, he doesn't have batteries. You know, he just turns them on and all of a sudden it starts to light up. And that's his energies. It's not... It isn't that there's something in him that's the source of the energies. He is the source of the energies because he is everything and he's not different from everything. So there doesn't have to be something in him. Of course, there's an issue of different types of tattva. So we know that he has his swarup shakti, he has his internal potency and his external potency that then manifest in so many different forms, in so many different ways. But there isn't some kind of mechanism in him.
Of an aspect of him that is, when we say he's the source, then means there's the energy and there's the source. But it seems to me that we can't really talk about Krishna without the energies.
Yeah, so therefore it's a bhedabhed. Simultaneously, it's one and different. You can't separate the two. It's not that, you know, like the battery. Battery means that it's the energy in the battery is different than when it's lit. But and you can separate the two things distinct at different times. And here's the energy and it's burning and it's not burning. And here's the battery, here's the source of it. But here, they're different. They're one, they're different, they're manifest differently. But at the same time, and they're simultaneously one. And it's the fact that they're simultaneously one that causes that difference, that they're simultaneously one and different. If they were not simultaneously, but just one and different, and time was allowed one and different, then that's all right. But then that wouldn't really, it would limit the nature of the absolute truth. And that's why when you ask, well, how's that possible for it to be one and different at the same time, you say, it's not possible for you, it's possible for him. So that's why we say it's a chintya. It's not a chintya for him. When we say a chintya beta deva tattva, it means that it's a chintya for us. But it's not a chintya for him. So we see, what's his energy? His energy is Srimati Radharani. So he's He's no different than Srimati Radharani, but at the same time, he's different, completely different. Otherwise, why would he be attracted? He wouldn't be attracted to her if he's thinking he's himself. He wouldn't be attracted to himself like that. He's attracted to someone who's separate from him.
Imagine when Krishna doesn't manifest his energy, it's just his existence, then we say it's Brahman. There's no qualities, there's no energies.
No, it's when we want to separate them, we want to only perceive just the energy, then that's Brahman. When we want to, we just want to see the energy and we don't want to see the person. So then the person hides and you can't see his energy.
But then, are you saying that Brahman is Shakti? Like
the Brahman is his Shakti? But well, it is his Shakti, isn't it? It's his potency. It's his effulgence. Isn't it?
Well, we say it's Krishna's effulgence, but we're also saying that there's the Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan aspects of the Absolute Truth. And so it means Brahman is the platform when there's only energy and no source?
Brahman is the platform where you only see energy. He's there. Andantarastha Paramanu. He's there in Brahman in full. He's not different from Brahman. So he's there. Aishwarya Purna is present in Brahman. It's not some kind of location, like you've got to go somewhere in order to see Bhagavan. It's just the consciousness. When someone's consciousness is only tuned into Brahman, then all they see is Brahman and all they perceive is Brahman. And they think that Brahman is everything. But if they want to and they cultivate the qualification for seeing Bhagavan, then they'll come to that stage also. Okay. Oops, that's 17 minutes. Okay, Hare Krishna Gaur Pranim, everyone.